We're teaching again this morning. In fact, I looked on a thing, and this is actually our 18th teaching on this series, I think it is today. We've had in line with these teachings. And I have, I don't even have all the notes out. I have so much notes and things and loads of notes and stuff on teaching on this subject, dealing with the First John, because what we do is we take things that John said. We're also comparing it with other scriptures and stuff and things and looking through. We're going to do that today. John's letters to the church and things that deal with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. There are letters that he wrote dealing with false doctrine that was going on in the church during that time period, where Gnosticism was coming along and really was getting into the church and teaching things that weren't true about the word. He was dealing with them. Now, the last time we taught, in fact, we did for 2 weeks in a row. We talked about joy. Two times we spoke on the subject of joy. And we're going to go over in another area, now dealing with the areas of joy. We're going to go over in the areas of fellowship. We're going to look at, because John, it was one of the things that John had spoken about with his writing and letter to the church, dealt with this subject of joy and of fellowship. John had said in the beginning, he said in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 2, he said, "The life was manifest," speaking of Christ, "and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." That was Jesus. He said, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." So, one of the purposes in this letter was dealing with the subject of fellowship. And this is important because just as we dealt with joy, we talked about the difference between the world system and their happiness and trying to be happy. We were talking about the subject of joy. The joy that is spoken of in scriptures is a spiritual force, not a physical force. Yet its power can really change things in the physical realm for us if we learn to walk in the joy. And you know, sometimes I know the church world does this, and they'll turn around and there's certain things, and the Bible talks about, like, say, healing. And they'll say, well, you know, today he's not talking about physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing. Understand this. If what you have in the spirit does not influence in the natural, it is of no purpose to even have it. Who cares? What do I want God to give me a gift that doesn't do anything for me in the physical realm? This is where I live. I live in the physical realm. What needs change is things that we're dealing. And anything that can change something in the spirit realm will affect things in the physical realm. I can't believe, really, sometimes I think of the ignorance of the church in these areas to make these statements to try to justify their ignorance of the Word of God. This is spiritual healing. Well, if it's spiritual healing and it doesn't affect the physical, well, then what good was it? What value did it have? It's like, what would it be do any good to have the joy of the Lord in it, and in the natural you're sad all the time? Well, then who cares to have it? It wouldn't be any of value. What if it doesn't change anything over here? If spiritual healing doesn't change or can't manifest over on the physical side, who cares to have it? It's of no value. If it's only for the life to come, well, then just wait for the life to come and let us alone. You know, we could serve our time here much better doing things that would actually affect something, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be sort of stupid. So I definitely don't agree with those kinds of thinking. And really, it's a shame. It's because of people's unbelief those things get preached. And we're dealing with the areas of fellowship, and I want you to notice, because we look at this fellowship, we're talking about a fellowship that the world cannot have with God. The only type of fellowship this is, and even amongst us as believers together, this fellowship is totally based on the fact that you must be born again. And get a hold of that when you read and understand the scriptures. See, just because words are used that maybe are used in this world to believers and unbelievers, and it's just used out there, that doesn't mean the Bible is just making a statement that's just sort of generic. This is everybody. It's about having fellowship. Now, the world will have a fellowship. There's a fellowship that the world walks in with each other on. And they have that because they're in the world. When I was a sinner, there was a fellowship. I don't know if you ever noticed that sinners fellowship around. Well, and it is. It's a fellowship that they have, but it's based upon darkness. It's based upon of that kingdom and that fellowship that you have over there. But when you get born again, it changes from the standpoint, man can now have fellowship with God. No sinner has fellowship with God. No sinner can have fellowship. That's an impossibility. Let's put an end to this. I've been spending time and meditating on this before teaching, and I've had notes on this, but really bringing things across. It would be no difference than taking animal. This is how much difference it is between the born again and non born again people. When you deal in the areas of fellowship, it would almost be talking about animal life and human life. It's that much difference, probably more difference than that. But it's just like animal life. You can't have fellowship. An animal and a human don't have fellowship that the Bible's talking about. You couldn't have it. You'd have to become the same kind of being or species. Understand, you look at animals, animals to themselves have a fellowship amongst each other that is based upon their soul realm, you know, and their mind, will, and emotion, however how far that goes. They have it. Where humans can't fellowship with them, a natural human can't fellowship with them on certain levels, and they can't fellowship with a human. You know, it's like we have this weird sickness today. People think they can. People, I hear this saying, I've heard ministers say this. Well, you know, today's people's animals are part of their family. Well, I mean, what do you mean by that? We've had animals all of our life, you know, growing up as a kid, we've had dogs and stuff. I'm sorry, our animals were never, we had them as a family. We may have had them, but they could never be family. I see people say, well, you know, my animals are my kids. That's sick. I don't care if people like me saying this stuff or not. I don't even really care. It is sick. If any Christian says it, it's sick. They can't be your kids. That's an impossibility. And one of the things of it is, if people who actually think like that, if you're a Christian, there's places that person will never go spiritually. They'll never understand, comprehend. They'll never walk in with God. They'll never know. Because they're thinking earthly. You can't be thinking earthly about it. You can't think you and a dog are on the same level with each other and at the same time walk with God and really know anything about God. Because I'm going to tell you, you're talking about such a huge difference in relationship. You can't. You can't go there. I mean, think about what the Scripture says in the New Testament, Paul's writings. Paul said, know no man after the flesh. Now think about that. We're not supposed to know people by the flesh, what, by the Spirit. Well, number one, you can't know an animal by the Spirit. They don't have one. You can't know them by the Spirit. You can only know them on a soul realm. That's as far as you can go. You know, people figure out things, you know, and how animal life, how it operates, how it works and things and how. But there's very limited from the standpoint of any fellowship, you know, that you have. What most people like about their animals is their animals really don't know what they're like. If they did, they probably wouldn't like them. You know, your animals like you. You can talk dumb and stupid and be just a complete idiot and make terrible decisions, and your dog will still come and lick you when he's... You know, they have an idea that that's some kind of really good... No, that's a relationship built upon stupidity, not upon knowledge. We're not a bunch of idiots. Us Christians aren't idiots. That's why I'm not fellowshipping with a bunch of idiots. We're not idiots. We have a fellowship and a union that is completely, totally different. Its basis is not upon the natural. It's not what it is at all. Our fellowship is based on the Spirit. That's what it is. If a person doesn't understand the realm of the Spirit, they will never have fellowship with God. They won't have fellowship. You can't have fellowship with God only upon the basis of your knowledge of God and how you understand how He operates and works. Understand this with each other. How could you have fellowship? You don't know each other. How far would your fellowship go? Your fellowship goes based on the knowledge that you have that holds that relationship together. That's it. It's like when Wanda and I got married, you know, today when I sit and look at what we know about each other to what we knew then, it's like my God, why would we have ever gotten married? You know, you're really on such a low level of knowing each other. We were. You start off, you have this really low level. Well, if we still had that level today, we wouldn't be married. The only reason most people get divorced is because they never knew each other to begin with, ain't about to know each other. What they want to have is a relationship with somebody like they do with their dog or their cat. I act like an idiot, moron, whatever I want to be, they still like me. Because why? They don't understand me. They don't get it. They aren't intelligent enough to know that I'm a crazy. You don't want to have that, you know. We're just on human life itself, whether a sinner or what, there's a level that animals can't operate at. They can't go there. Sort of like a guy one time, not long ago, I heard this. This is not long ago, no more than a couple months ago. I read this thing of a guy, because they were talking about animal life. Dolphins are they're smarter than humans and all this kind of stuff. And this guy asked the guy why the dolphins don't build hospitals, why they don't do all these things to help change the world and how they... The guy said, well, they can't because they don't have arms and hands and they don't... Hold it. They're this smart. Now, this same person, I guarantee you, will believe in evolution. Well, no, if according to evolution, they would sure have arms and hands by now if they were all this intelligent. Because the evolution teaches you this. Whatever an animal needs or we needed to survive, we became that because that's what we needed. You know, we just, one day a fish said, man, I need legs. I got to have them, man, because I want to go on the land. And basically, that's what they teach. There was something happened out here in the water, and they needed to go. You know, the water must have got full, didn't want enough to eat or something. I've heard things like that talk. So they had, you know, they evoluted into having, because they needed to go eat. You know, well, how does that work today? So let's quit feeding the poor. They'll get sandwiches somehow. It'll... Well, let's get around to it. I mean, it's like, if that's the logic, don't worry about it. No, this is all going to work out. Why would we worry about the earth and... all this today, if everything, evolution always turns everything into something better. Well, my words. Why are they worried about global warming? It's just things are going to just get better. Let's get real, folks. Using their theories. My words, it's going to improve. One day there will be. The Bible says that this earth will be gone by great heat. And it will be. It's a judgment of God. Things will get better. Oh, well, there's all this stupidity out here. But when we deal with fellowship, we're talking about, really, just think about it. The Bible says that you and I have the mind of Christ. Well, the last time I heard Jesus Christ was God, last time I read in the book. So that means you and I have God's mind. We should be... our thoughts, you know, is, you know, the Bible says about, you know, my ways are higher than your ways, you know, says the Lord. In the Old Testament, my thoughts are above your thoughts. Now, people turn around and say, God thinks higher than we do, and they always put on, we can't think like God. But that's not what God was even saying in the Old Testament. He was talking to Israel. If you go over and read about that in Isaiah, he was talking about Israel being not walking and following God, so God's thoughts were higher than their thoughts. Now, if God thinks all these, he's so smart, and he thinks all these smart things, and we can't know them, then he shouldn't expect much out of us, should he? Well, the Bible tells us, so you and I can have God's mind. So in other words, we can think on a higher plane, and we understand this. As Christians, this is not to make us big-headed so the world, you know, we're so much better than the world. We're so much better off than the world. We are, from that standpoint. Also from the fact of our thoughts and thinking, we can think the thoughts of God. In other words, our fellowship would be on a totally different plane. First of all, our fellowship is based upon a spiritual plane, not natural. And, you know, it's like last week we read in Romans, we're told us, what we weren't in the flesh, but we're in the spirit if Christ really lives in us. And so it's thinking about that when we're dealing on this subject of fellowship. Most people look at it, well, we're just a group that gets along with each other. And that's why is one of the things is we're dealing with the church realm. One of the reasons that the church has had so much division among it has been because of this just problem right here. Intellectually, from the spiritual standpoint, most of the church is in babyhood stage. It has never come out of it. So what happens is the fellowship is based upon spiritual, you know, not know, spiritually not knowing, rather than any spiritual knowledge. They don't know. And so what they try to do is they try to fellowship just like the world does. How well is it working in the world? How well does fellowship work in the world? Generally speaking, I mean, people, I mean, they, over the years, change the people that they hang out with and do it. I mean, people, I mean, having, like today, my words, fussing and fighting and carrying on, goes on with all the stuff. I mean, families are just a mess. The stuff that goes on. And it is, it's because, and even among the Christians, it's because the basis of fellowship is trying to do it just like the world does. We're trying to get along with each other. You know, and they'll accuse you, if you, especially if you have the knowledge of God and people don't, they'll accuse you as you're a problem, you're a trouble. Because why? They'll want you to come to their level to do it, to fellowship like they do. They want you to submit to you know, something lower. And like, where are you coming from over here? You know, you're weird. And in that sense, we are. We're weird because we're hooking up to a level that is something much higher. It's being able to commune with God. Think about the fact that we're called to fellowship with God. I mean, just reading the statement that John had made there, you know, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And then he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Just think about the statement, the fact of fellowship. You and I are to fellowship with God. We're fellowshipping with God. I mean, most people can hardly get the idea of really fellowship with each other. It's God. He said, hold it. What's the truth about our fellowship? In other words, John told him, this fellowship we have, it's among each other. Now, he's talking to Christians. Remember, he's writing to Christians. This is a fellowship. But he said, now, the truth of this thing, this fellowship is based out of the fact that we fellowship with God. See, a Christian who is not in fellowship with God is going to have a hard time fellowshipping with other Christians who fellowship with God. This has been a huge problem. Many Christians don't fellowship with God. They know nothing about fellowship with God. Fellowship has been kept on a natural realm. So what they're trying to do, and this is because this keeps a real problem going in the body of Christ, is people don't understand. See, people don't realize, they don't realize the family that they belong to. Number one, when they got born again, their relationship with God changed, but also their relationship with the world changed. We have to come to that conclusion and realize, you and I are not in the same spiritual family that people in the world are. You're not in the same spiritual family. So in that sense, we need to understand there is a break in that fellowship. There's a closeness or camaraderie. When I find that Christians can have better camaraderie with the world than they can with other Christians, that's always a problem. There's many Christians out here today who hang around more with sinners than they do with saints. And they do that because they're more like the sinner. They don't know who they are. They have never grown up spiritually, so they only know how they acted before and what they did. So they go, that's familiar to them, and that's what they go to. They never grew in the knowledge of God. The closer I grew in fellowship with God, the more I begin to see how different I am from what the world was. That's what separated things. You know, when I went, like at Reese's, when I got born again, you know, I didn't try to break off, you know, relationships with people that I was around, but just naturally it started to happen because of the change in my life. You know, I couldn't go do the things and hang out with the people that I hung out with before. I couldn't do that. So they, you know, looked at me, well, you know, you're not one of us. Well, they were right. You know, I was accused of being, oh, yeah, see, now you think you're better than everybody else. Oh, no, they would accuse me of that. And I'd say, yes, thank you, and shake your hand. I'm so glad you recognized that. Thank you. That was a wonderful witness. I've changed. You know, most Christians don't want that. They would hate that if somebody came. No, I want everybody. I want to like me. If I want reach people, they got to like me. Man, Jesus was a mess, wasn't he? He didn't do good at this thing. Oh, hallelujah. It's a lot of strange stuff. The word in the New Testament, that this word fellowship that we're talking about, there's another word that is used, was translated sometimes fellowship, but it isn't talking about the same one. The one we're talking about here deals with this fellowship that's talked about here, is the word koinonia. You may have heard that used already. There are sometimes, I've heard their ministry's names, they call themselves koinonia something, which means, just means fellowship. That's all it means, fellowship. But what it's dealing with, the definition of this word is a sharing, a unity. It's a close association. It's a partnership, participation, a society, a commune, a fellowship, contributing help. Really, it's like a brotherhood. In other words, it's sort of like an organization that is bound together by certain principles, certain ideas. Koinonia is a unity brought about. Only one way it can be brought about is through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it can be brought about. And the reason for that is because of the new birth. See, you're born of the Spirit. And understand this. So, understand, when we're talking about koinonia, we're talking about a unity that is built by God. And it only came through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the new birth. That's the only way it could come. There's no other way to enter this unity. You can't come in. Somebody can't be a sinner and come and sit in a church and ever really enter into this unity, because they can never have it. They can't, unless they get born again, they can't ever really know God. If you can really know God without the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost in us is a worthless thing. Who needs it? What's the purpose of that? I mean, my words, is he living in the sinner, guiding and leading them into all the truth? Is that what he's doing? Well, no, he's not doing that. So understand this. You and I, we come into this unity because of the Spirit in us. We're born of the Spirit of God. In other words, we've taken on God's nature. On top of that, you have the Holy Spirit living in you that guides you and leads you into this unity that we have. Now, understand that unity is there. Many people never enter into it, yet it's there. And it's like anything. It must be developed. It's sort of like the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. But if you don't ever develop to walk in that love, don't matter if it's there. There's not a Christian out here that could say honestly they couldn't forgive somebody. Yes, you can. You have the love of God in you. But if you've never developed that love and never walked in it, well, of course, you say, I can't. Yes, you can. It's just you didn't develop that love. You didn't operate. It's there. The Holy Spirit's there to help you in that and to walk in that love. And understand that this unity, this fellowship is in the same way. In koinonia, the individual shares in common an intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of Christian society. That's what this fellowship is. It's about a union in Christian society. Koinonia cements the believer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to each other. And see, we know this. We know that people don't walk in this fellowship, because we could just look out across America here today alone. The majority of people who claim to be born again, I'm not saying people say they're Christians. I'm saying people who say they're born again. The majority of them don't go to church. And the reason they don't, they're not in fellowship. They're not in, nobody's going to ever tell me that they don't go to church and they're in fellowship with God. That's the biggest lie in the world. Because this unity that we have, fellowship, is not based just between us and God. If once you're in fellowship with God, you must be in fellowship with your brother. You cannot turn away from the body of Christ. You can't. And see, many people, I say, well, they don't have nothing to do with the body of Christ. I'm sorry. You can't get born again and walking around in the knowledge of God, not fellowshipping. We carry out our fellowship with God through our brothers and sisters. That's how we do it. You know, I mean, I think from the natural standpoint, how could somebody say, you know, the turnaround, you know, I'm born in a family. Now, I'm in fellowship with my mom, or I'm in fellowship with my dad, and with my family. And how are you in fellowship with your family? Well, I don't ever go see them. I don't ever go hang around them or ever with them. But I'm in fellowship. Well, no, you're not. And it's the same way with God. See, it's just like the family. I hang around with that. There's one thing, is I've always learned this. You hang around God, and God will always have you in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, or he ain't going to be very happy with you. So that's why I tell people, the body of Christ may be messed up, but we still are the best group to belong to. I don't care what anybody says. It's the best. And these people say, well, they don't believe like I do. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's nobody. I mean, could you imagine if I would only like my children when they were born into our family because they could think on the level I did. Because they understood on the level I did. So I'm not going to hang out with them because we don't believe the same stuff. Anybody who does that, you know this, their beliefs are probably wrong anyhow. They are. Godly beliefs will never lead you to turn away from people, to not. You know, it isn't because they aren't fellowship with people, other Christians, because they're living in sin. No, they don't believe what I believe in. Now, the Bible tells you, if brothers and they want to just live in sin, you don't want to fellowship with them. You don't want to hang around them. But that isn't why they do. They don't believe what I believe. So they're done. Yeah. You know, this is one thing, as I know, Baptists don't believe what Ed believes. But number one, they're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're born again children of God. They believe Jesus is Lord. They believe God raised him from the dead. If God can't change your minds about other stuff, that's not my problem. You know, if they want to stay over to those areas, but I'll tell you what, there's things that they know that the Spirit-filled people need to learn. Because a bunch of them will live a better life than a lot of Spirit-filled people do. I think that's why some of the Spirit-filled people don't want to hang around with them. They feel guilty. But you know, so we're talking about, this is a union and fellowship. So understand, when we're talking about this and teaching on this subject, is people need to understand the fact we're not talking about just general fellowship and getting, we the church, we have a fellowship dinner. And that's nice, that's good. We're talking about getting together and eating a meal and that stuff. And that's nice, but that is not per se what we're talking about here in this fellowship. There's a union that we have with each other. It's about being, we're family. We really are. One thing is, I learned a long time ago, and I'll tell you what, I my physical family, I love them. But I'm going to tell you, the spiritual family of the church is my number one family. If somebody's not born again, they're not the same kid as I am. They're not. They can be in our physical families, we can be born into, but they are not on the same level. They're not on the same level. I can't have fellowship with people who are not born again in a lot of areas that I can, you know, I can have fellowship with people who are Christians. You can't have that fellowship. You know, you'll find this out, though, people, especially as they develop and grow, you can come to a deeper relationship with other people in the body of Christ as they grow and develop and understand things. Brother Hagin used to talk about, there was a lot of times, a lot of people he was around, he couldn't talk to them on certain levels about spiritual things. He said, lots of times he said, I'd be with ministers and go to their churches and minister, but I couldn't talk to them on certain spiritual levels. In other words, there's areas of fellowship with God we can't go into together because they don't know. They don't understand. And so, and he wasn't running them down. He's just telling you, it's a fact. You learn things. Well, you have the same thing, you know. I mean, I couldn't have come home and sat down and talked to Alyssa when she's 3 years old about, you know, Reese's and what we were doing and working there and doing stuff. You can't, why? Well, it was over her head. She didn't understand none of that. So in other words, there was part of my life we had no communion of fellowship in. There's things that we didn't, you know. And so everybody has that. We have that. We fellowship with everybody on different levels, but we need to understand the fact of it is, if a person is born again, there is a tie there, a union of fellowship that can be had that cannot be had with the world. That can't be had with the world. And so if we don't understand that, we'll look in the Bible, we'll read the thing of fellowship, and we're trying to be nice to each other. We're just, well, you know, if you don't know what you are, who you really are, all you'll do is just trying to keep the peace, trying to be nice. That's all you'll do, because you don't really know. When you understand who you are and you understand who the other person is, and really get down to the fact, when I understood the fact of the body of Christ, I am in this family. It is a real family. It is an eternal family. There's no other family like it. And I am part of that family. This is what I'm in. And this is what I'm going to be in eternally, not for a period of time in the earth. This is an eternal. Now, I've always been, and I've said this all the time, you know, if you don't like the church here, what do you want to go to heaven with them for? Because you're going to have to be with these people eternally. If you don't like them and you ain't going to hang out with them because you don't believe the same, man, when you get to heaven, you're in big trouble. You'll be wanting to go over to hell with the rest of those people you like. Hey, send me over to the lake of fire, please. I have more in association with that bunch. It's weird to me as people. No, in heaven, we're going to be there. There's people down here, even as Christians, you may have a hard time with. But you know, they're not out here living like hell. They're pretty just dumb about things. And what happens? They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be there. You know, they believe in Jesus, you know, with all their heart. They believe in Jesus. They just haven't grown up. They're going to be in heaven. Well, don't bother fussing with it. When they finally get that dumb flesh off, they'll learn something. Don't worry about it. It'll straighten out. But I would like this. My big thing is I want to get people to understand here while they're in the earth. And the reason I have that, that's my job here. That's my job as teaching, preaching the Word of God. That's what's in my heart. I hate to see people walk in ignorance, you know, and not know God. You know, I don't want to get to heaven to know God. I want to know as much about Him here as I can. Because right here, right now, I need help and people need help. Right here is where we need some heaven. You ain't going to be wanting heaven when we're up there. We're going to be in it all, enjoying it all. Here we're not. And, I have learned to enjoy over the years more and more of heaven here than I did before. How to get heaven in operation here. It's been great. And when I see people that don't understand that, know that, I want them to know them. And they only can come into this if they learn to walk in this union and fellowship that's in. Because all the rest of this stuff out here, you know, I realize there's all kind of problems in the church. Things aren't being taught right. Some people, ministries and ministers have been deceived and are heading in wrong directions. You know, we preach the truth and God has to deal with it. It's like, you know, Peter said, God knows who's His. Well, and God knows who's His, belongs to Him. Sometimes I wonder about people and I say, God, who do they belong to? But God knows who's His. Now, this word koinonia is used in the New Testament. First of all, it's used 12 times as the word fellowship. And let me say this. In the New King James, I'm talking about the New King James. In the King James Version, it may seem, say, you know, some things different, but koinonia, if you'll look it up to its usages, it's used 12 times. In actuality, the full amount of times it's used is 20 times in the New Testament. This word koinonia is used. And whenever you see this word used, I want you to understand this because it is koinonia. So if you would look and put the word koinonia in and type it into your, like I have software, you type it into their word, it'll bring up every place that koinonia is used. Now koinonia, if you look at each one of those places, it's interesting because in the New King James, 4 times it's used the word as communion, but it's the same word. 1 time it's used as the word contribution. And 2 times it's used as the word sharing, and 1 time as the word share. Now, that's in the New King James. That's how they translate it. But you know, really, one of the best ways that we understand the word in our vernacular would be the word fellowship. And it was like I was explaining in beginner what we're talking about, this fellowship. Because, you know, the word communion doesn't, we think more of like the communion service. Think about this. Our communion service or communion that we have, this is about fellowship. That's why when we take communion, it's a remind us of fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's for. So it's communion. We can't have communion together without communing with Jesus. And it's to remind us of our fellowship with Jesus Christ. We have a fellowship with Him. And so they use the word communion, but we don't really use the word communion in our vernacular other than for the communion service. You don't hear people use, oh, I'm having good communion with this person over here. You know, hey, we had great fellowship this weekend. That's a term that we would use. Now, they also took the word, like I said, share and sharing. In dealing with those things, they were dealing from the standpoint financially. It was used dealing with finances. You say, wow, that's different. But we want to talk about that because we're going to look and we're going to find out that those terms were used in talking about giving money to the brethren, not giving money in generally. Giving money to the brethren. See, there's a fellowship that we have. There's a giving. See, the church. Here's what the church world has done today. You've heard me talk about this. we just go out here and we're going to reach the world out here. And so we give them all this stuff. We give them money. We give them this. This is how we're going to reach them. And they're talking about all, you know, in the Bible talks about giving and helping the poor and doing this. But really, dealing with the Bible, if you look in the New Testament, the number one place of sharing and giving and helping each other out financially is to the brethren. It's not to the world. See, the church has gotten all messed up. The church is trying to fellowship with the world. This is what the seeker-friendly churches have done. Seeker-friendly is trying to reach the world through the world's fellowship. We can reach them through their fellowship. See, they don't try to reach people through their fellowship with God and the church and being the magnet that draws people. No, we don't do that anymore. What we do is we become like the world to reach the world. You know, as Paul said, I became like, you know, this guy, you know, reach people to be like all men. He didn't mean that he went out and did what the sinners did and thought what the sinners thought to reach sinners. Paul didn't turn around. Did he have an organization? All he did is run around and fed sinners? Is that what he did? Well, no, he didn't. Paul preached the gospel. What he did is he went and preached the gospel to the people using their terms and their terminology and spoke to them the truth. That's why it says you speak the truth in love. You don't go out there. Paul didn't go out there and side with them in what they did, you know. And so we get this mix up and mess up on what fellowship and this association is. Now, I am going to take the time. I wasn't going to do this, and I was meditating last night. And I'm going to go over and use and look at the scriptures where these terms, koinonia, is used. And so it will give us an overview of an idea with this scripture, and it's used to help us understand some things about it. I thought, well, you know, going through all of this, but I think it would be well. So when we do read in the Bible, and especially the New Testament, we're talking about koinonia, reading in the New Testament. The first time I want to look is the word is in the book of Acts. I want you to know, this is one thing that's very interesting. This word is not used in the Gospels. When Jesus talked about the guy, you know, his disciples being his friends and stuff, it's never used in the Gospels. And you know why? Because you can't have this fellowship without getting born again. That's why in the New Testament, it's used later on in the New Testament after Jesus is raised from the dead. Then people believed on Jesus and got saved. Now this new fellowship started. Now in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 2 says about the disciples. Now listen here. This is talking about the church. Now this is the church. Now remember, this fellowship here he's talking about is in the context of the church, not the context of the world. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfast. This is the believers. Steadfast in what? The apostles' doctrine. And what? And fellowship. Listen, the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' fellowship. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now listen, what did they do? They stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And the doctrine is their teaching. Fellowship around teaching. You need to understand this. Fellowship is around teaching. This is one of the reasons why we talk. Well, you know what the Bible talks about coming into the unity of the faith? That's what teachers are for, bringing people into the unity of faith. See, we have such disunity in faith today because people don't teach a lot of stuff. But understand this, the Bible tells us, Jesus said you can't go any further than your teacher. So there's a fellowship between God and between ourselves can only go on the basis of how far we're taught to learn. And see, it's one thing, is I must continue to learn, I must continue to develop, because if I stop learning, you need to find another teacher. You do. You need to find another teacher, because that means if you're going to listen, you can't go any further. You need to find another teacher. You need to find somebody that's going to take you someplace else. You need to find that. Well, that's why it's so important to continue. But he said the doctrine, so this they continued steadfast in the doctrine, he said, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So it says doctrine and fellowship. The fellowship of the apostles. Now, understand, fellowship here, we look at the parent, oh, yeah, they're fellowshipping with him. Understand what, when John wrote, when John said about the fellowship, he talked about the fellowship that he's in. He said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And what? Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. So we have to take that scripture and understand what he's talking about here. Their fellowship is not based on hanging out with John and them. John and them are teaching them things, and the teaching is so they can fellowship with God just like the apostles do. And through that, they have a fellowship with each other. And it's based upon doctrine. That fellowship is based upon what they teach. So John and them are teaching, the apostles are teaching them the Word of God. They're teaching them what they know of God so they can fellowship with God, and now they have a fellowship with one another. That's what they're doing. So that's what he's talking about here in the use of this word. This is not a fellowship that can be done with the world. It cannot. This fellowship is based completely upon they're being in the family of God, hooked up with God's family. Now, if we go over to 1 Corinthians, 1 chapter. Now, this is what verse 9 says here, and you'll understand this fellowship we're talking about again. It says, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, now, we know this is he's talking to believers here. He told the believers here what is it? God is faithful. This is what God called you into a fellowship with Jesus Christ. Not just having knowing about Jesus. Understand, when we talk about the word fellowship, it's not just knowing about somebody. Do you know, you can learn to know people on different levels. Let's just say this. I could buy a book about George Washington on the history and look at George Washington history. And maybe let's get a book that's really technical that somebody has out here and got all the information they could about George. And they turn around and compiled it into a book about his life and what he did and everything else. Now, I could gain a knowledge about George. But let me ask you, can I fellowship with George? Not unless he comes back from heaven. I believe the man's in heaven. He's a Christian man. I believe he's in heaven. But you know what? I can't fellowship with George till I get to heaven. I can't personally fellowship with him. We're talking about living beings. Our fellowship is with a living being, Jesus Christ. The church is having, we're not just based upon a knowledge of George. Because here's one thing about it. I could stand before George and I could read off all the statistics about George, what he did, this and that, the other thing. But you know what? I will guarantee you this. The day that I meet George Washington, you know what I'm going to find out? Wow, I didn't really know what he was really like. You can only know what a person's really like is fellowshipping with them. Because you find out things about, I wouldn't know about George Washington's moods generally or what kind of, you know, how emotionally he was as a person. And how they, you don't know those things. That's why it's like with Wanda. It wasn't till we lived together over time you really got to know each other over time. Now, it sure helped when we got saved. That changed a lot. That helped. Because we took on a completely different relationship with each other. We took a different relationship that we had before with each other. But still, from the fact, the fellowship that we have together, you have to do that through spending time. And see, you know, when people talk about, you know, and sometimes, you know, people make this, you hear this, well, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What they're really talking about, they aren't talking about really knowing Jesus. They're talking about getting born again. I want you to understand this. You can get born again and not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can get born again and not have fellowship with him. See, people don't understand that. So we have to watch how people use terminology. I've asked people sometimes, what do you mean by saying that? Personal relationship. Because here's what. Most Christians, does God talk to you? Well, God don't talk to us. He talks to the Bible. God can't talk. Well, then you don't have a personal. If God can't talk to me, I don't have a personal relationship. All I got is a book, and this is why they become legalists. Because this is all they got. God don't talk other than this. So they don't believe he's alive and he really talks to you. Oh, yes, God lives in us. Oh, yes, Jesus is in me. And he's deaf, dumb, and blind. He ain't doing nothing. You can't commune with him. I want to tell you, you can commune with God. That's why as we read these things, I want you to get a whole different picture of yourself in relationship with God, of what God's called us to do. Jesus Christ wants you and I to know Him personally. He wants you to know what He feels, what He thinks. He wants you just like, there's nothing better in relationships between humans when you can understand the way a person thinks. Because you can, when you start understanding, like with me, I know how Wanda thinks about things, and she knows how I think about stuff. So you learn how to communicate with each other. You learn things you say or don't say because of what, and it's not, it's just you learn the communication with each other of how, the levels you're both on and what you talk about. And how you deal with each other and things. So you have to do that. I found when I don't do it a certain way, I can get things messed up, you know, from her perspective. I can shut her down. But if I learn how to, I can say, if I do it just in a different way, can get the same, what I want to do, but just doing it a different way because that's, she's a different person. She isn't specifically Ed. You know, and we're dealing with Jesus. When we deal with Jesus, He wants us to know what He's like and how He thinks about things. You know, there's many things that I've found this out. There are certain areas I began to understand how God operates in certain areas and what He would do under certain circumstances. And this is when I found out this began to happen. First, I didn't know why it was happening, and I found out why it did. Why sometimes He would say to me, well, you go ahead and do what you want to do. You'd go. And the reason He was, He knew how I thought about it. He knew, I knew what He'd do. I can tell you what Wanda would do about certain things. I can just tell you what you do. She'd same with me. She would know what I'd do. Well, you get on that level. This is a fellowship, and we need to understand this. The world can't, non-Christians can't enter to this place. So when we're talking about this fellowship, this isn't trying to, you can't have this fellowship other than in the church. Christians can be the same way. If the word tells us not to, to know, you know no man except through the flesh, by the flesh, so we're supposed to know each other spiritually. We can learn in, by hooking up in the area with this fellowship with Jesus Christ, we can learn about each other, a lot about how things operate in the spirit and how it operates with each other and things. There's a union that can come together in these areas. This fellowship that he had, this fellowship, the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. So there's a fellowship that we enter to, that God's faithful. He's called you to this fellowship with him. We're called to this as Christians. And the reason that, you know, Paul opened up in this letter, right in the church of Corinth, these guys were off base in areas. And what he wants to do is there's a lot of carnality in the church. He's trying to bring them over to spirituality. And he's open up talking about, you're called to a fellowship. Why? Because if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you find they're fellowship with the wrong stuff. They're in wrong fellowship about things. He's calling, hold it. Here. The basis of our fellowship starts with God. And if we don't have a fellowship with God, you're just not going to have it with other Christians. It ain't going to work. Anybody that doesn't have fellowship with other Christians, I'm just telling you the truth, whether people like to hear it, they can say, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. They don't like to fellowship with other Christians. They don't have fellowship with God. I'm not saying they're not a Christian, but they don't have fellowship with God because they don't know Him. They don't know what He likes, what He wants. They have no clue. And they'll sit, you know, don't argue with Him about it, okay? The Bible tells you this is one thing you don't do. You never argue with a fool because you'll lose the battle every time. You can never prove a fool wrong. You can give them all the information, prove anything. A fool will refuse to listen to anybody but himself. He won't listen to anybody. You know, I've watched people that are going down the tubes and insist they're right. It's like, what do? You can't. I learned just to keep mouth shut. Let them go. Let them go. You can't do nothing with it. Sometimes you have to know that, you know, is dealing with people. Now, in 2 Corinthians, we want to look at this one. It's a good one. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. I'm not there yet. It takes me a little time here. Okay. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Well, let me start the first verse and we'll have it in its context. It says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound in the riches of their liberality. Now, what he's talking about here is the giving of this church. They're giving. This church has been in every poverty, but they're going to give, and this giving is going to be toward their brethren. Look what it says here. For I bear witness, verse 3, that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Do you realize that he's talking about in giving to other Christians here? See, these were Christians that were in need. Paul was taking up an offering. What this offering was going to go to Rome. This offering was going to go, to Jerusalem. There had been a famine in Jerusalem, and they were taking an offering, not for the Jews in Jerusalem that were hungry. It was the Christians. It's for the saints, not for the Jews. They weren't taking an offering for everybody. This offering was go down to help. There was a need. There was a famine and stuff going on. If you read historically about this famine. In other words, he went to the church, the Gentile churches, and he went to the Gentile churches and told them, hey, we need to help our brothers and sisters down in Jerusalem. They're in need. So we need to help them. And they took an offering for them to help the saints. And what do they say this was? This offering, he said, would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This is a fellowship off. This offering is based because of fellowship. This is a fellowship offering. It's fellowship. This is based upon the union that they have with one another. These are saints. So they're giving. If you see here, it's used in the term of giving. This giving is based upon this fellowship that the Christians have with one another. In other words, there is a really this offering here, this thing that's going on is really in a higher level than just giving some money out. We're just going to help the poor, and we're going to go out here and we're going to just go. See, this is what people need to understand. There's things that we do. We've got is number one. The Bible tells us this in the New Testament, that a guy who doesn't take care of his own family is worse than an unbeliever. The Church of Jesus Christ, in many ways, has been worse than unbelievers. Because their number one agenda in helping is helping people outside the family, and not inside. They'll give to somebody out here on the outside. It's amazing how much they'll dump out there. And on the inside, they don't. Helping their brothers, helping brothers and sisters, and doing that. This is based upon this koinonia. This offering is based upon a union. It is the union that they have with the saints. It is because of who they are in Jesus Christ and their fellowship with Christ. They are giving this offering on that basis, on that giving. Now, where the word fellowship is also used in the New King James Version. If we would go to Galatians, the second chapter, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. And I'm just going down through the Bible in sequence to where they're found, it's used. Galatians, the second chapter. In verse 9 says, "And we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received," second chapter. Second chapter, verse 9. Okay, get it in. Here we go. In verse 9 says, "And when James, Cephas," that would be Peter, "and John were seen to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision." This is the word here, fellowship, is the word koinonia. In other words, this is when Paul went down to Jerusalem again to find out, because he was out preaching, and he went back, he wanted to find out, make sure that what he was preaching was right. Because he was out here preaching to the Gentiles, and when he went down there, actually what it came out, they had a council sort of get together, and James, the brother of Jesus, who was the head of the church, and they came to the conclusion that Paul was doing what's right. This is a hand of fellowship that he's talking about here. This is not like the world's hand of fellowship. This is about because they understood the fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. They knew they were all on the same page. You know, it's like the world. Oh, you go, here's fellowship today in the church. You believe this is wrong, and I don't believe that's wrong, and this is that. But, you know, we love each other. Go ahead, you preach your thing, and I'll preach mine. They didn't do that. They were preaching the same gospel. Because you go to Paul's writing, one of Paul's big things, Paul, if somebody comes and preaches you another gospel than I preach, let him be accursed. That word accursed there means, that word accursed, when Paul said, let him be accursed, that is that word. If you look it up and it's used from a sacrifice standpoint, it means the idea that let that be person separated from God without the ability to be to repent. Paul used a very harsh word about somebody that would, a Christian that goes preaches another Jesus. Paul said, let him be accursed. Let him be separated from God. That's a powerful thing to say. Paul wouldn't make it today in churches. His gospel would be, they wouldn't like him. They'd say, that Paul, you know, he just don't walk in love. He just needs to get more over in the area of love. Now, in Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul starts verse 8. He says, to me who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who creates all things through Jesus Christ. Now look, he's talking about a mystery that was hidden. There's a mystery that was hidden. Paul said his job was to go preach this gospel, this unsearchable riches of Christ, and what it was, and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery. The mystery of Christ brings people into fellowship with God is what it does. See, the preaching of the gospel is the mystery of God. God has this gospel that's been hidden, and now this gospel's out there. But this gospel is what it brings people into a fellowship. It makes all see what is the fellowship. See, this fellowship is not just something natural. It's not a it was been a hidden thing up to the time when the New Testament started, when the church began. This mystery was revealed. This is what made the fellowship. This was what made this group of people. They got born again because the mystery of God was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And now this gospel, this mystery has been revealed now. And now it was hidden. That's why the devil didn't know. Says if he'd have known, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He wouldn't have done that. And this mystery has been released, but this mystery brings people into this fellowship. If you don't believe this mystery, you ain't getting into fellowship. It's based in this whole thing. It brings people into a fellowship. And it can only be had by the church. It's the only group that this thing can be a part of. In Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. Philippians, the second chapter. Says, therefore, if there be any consolation, that word consolation just means encouragement. If there be any kind of encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, bearing, being of one accord, of one mind. So you see, he used the word, all these different things. One of the things he's mentioned is fellowship. How does all this stuff work? He told them, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In other words, this fellowship is based on what people know, really, about God. He's writing to saints. He wrote to these saints. For them, either they're going to walk in this love, to have this fellowship, to have this affection and mercy, you know, be this joy, all this is, it's based in the knowledge of God. In other words, you got to believe the same stuff. This guy can't just, well, I want to believe this and I want to believe that and I want to believe that. It isn't a matter of choice because it brings it over. That fellowship is based upon the truth. There's people who fellowship today. That's probably one of the reasons, is one of the reasons why we have so many different churches, because we have so many different beliefs. Some churches have the same kinds of beliefs on certain areas, but other ones they don't. You can't fellowship. I mean, there's one thing about it. It's like Brother Hagin used to say this, and he said, I never understood. He said, a person would go and get filled with the Holy Ghost and go back to the dead church they were in and don't believe in it. He said, why would you do that? Why? Because what's going to happen is they're going to be filled with the Spirit, but they're never going to walk in it, because they're going to go back in amongst a group that don't fellowship in that area. So they don't ever get to walk in that truth with God. They don't ever get to go into those areas of fellowship. And that's why if people certainly, you know, come along and say, well, I believe the things that I've always believed all my life. I mean, you never grown. You don't. Come on, let's get real. We should be developing into something more. Our knowledge should be gaining. And so this fellowship, again, is a fellowship that is tied to believers. It's in the second chapter, Philippians, the third chapter. Oh, here we, no, no, excuse me, the second chapter. Yeah, the second chapter I read that one. Oh, I didn't use the one. There's one in the first chapter that's used in the opening to his letter. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. The fellowship, see what that fellowship is based? The fellowship was founded in the gospel. And then we went over here, them talking about what? Having the same mind, believing the same gospel, believing the same message, believing the same stuff. The fellowship is founded. In chapter 3, listen to this, starting in verse 9, Paul wrote and said, in being found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now listen to what Paul says. And here, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. See, people talk about, I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. Well, that is one area to have a knowledge of, because you can commune in fellowship. But he says what? And the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. There's a fellowship that we, you and I, can have with Jesus Christ. If we don't have that one and don't understand it, we'll never know the depth of what he bought for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. What he suffered so you can have. See, today, people don't believe he suffered sickness and disease so you could be healed. Most Christians don't believe that. Why? They never come into the fellowship of his suffering. Loads of them never come into to learn to know him in the power of his resurrection. They don't know him in that. They don't know the fellowship of his suffering. There's things that we can come into. He's not talking about you suffering on the cross or you. This is not a physical suffering. This is the knowledge of his suffering. The fellowship, when you come in fellowship through the knowledge of God and what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, Paul said, I want to know him and all this stuff. I want to understand him. I want to be able to conform to that death. Understand, if I can conform to the death of Christ, I'm going to end up knowing him in the power of his resurrection. See, most Christians never conform to the death of Christ. Their flesh is still just full alive. It's like, we conform to his death. There's a revelation, or in other words, there's a higher level of fellowship that we can go into. And I want to go into that. I want to go in that place where the Bible says, you died and your life is hidden in Christ. I want to go to that place, Ed. You know, Ed, you're dead. And remind myself of that. If you Ed, you're a dead man. Now, we didn't read the ones of fellowship in 1 John. We had already read those in 1 John. Now, in 1 John, that was the first chapter in verse 3, we had read those. Now, if we go to 1 John, the First John, the first chapter, and we want to look at verses. First John, that's not it. That's Peter. We ain't going to do well there, are we? Okay. Listen what he goes on to say here. He says in this, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we say that we're in fellowship with God, we walk in darkness, it says we lie and don't practice the truth. So in other words, fellowship cannot be done. A Christian cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Let me tell you, let me just say this to you. He's talking about a person's walk. He's not talking about a one time where we just sin, we messed up. He's talking about a Christian who has a walk in darkness. They live just like the world does. They walk like the world does. He said that person, that individual, has a walk. That's a way of life, a way the person lives. He said that person walks in darkness. In other words, we say we have fellowship with him. We lie. We don't practice the truth. Then here's the next place it's used, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I'm not going to go on. We'll look at the last 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me see. No, 1, 2. The other 7. We're going to look at those. We're going to stop here today. We'll look at those, come back to these things. We'll look at those. And then we're going to go over and teach. And then we come over to the light of fellowship. You'll see more clearly about 1 John. When we read down the first chapter of 1 John, you'll have a better understanding about the dealing of the subject of fellowship. Because, and I've talked about this before, he is not talking about relationship. He's talking about fellowship. He didn't say that these people don't have a relationship with God. Well, surely they do, because why would he be writing them a letter if they don't have a relationship? He's writing them a letter because he said in the beginning, that which we that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He talked about handling the truth. He said that life which was manifested. He said through eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested to us. He's talking about people who are born again, manifested to us. In chapter 2, he made this statement, verse 1. He says, my little children. He called them, you don't call the world your little children. They ain't your little children. He said, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. See, he's talking about sin, staying out of sin. You know, the world, you can talk to the world, try to keep them out of sin all you want. Well, you're wasting your time. I mean, that's their nature. you got to get their nature changed to get them out of sin. This thing he's completely writing to saints and understand. So he's talking to them about fellowship. Because, you know, this is the sad part in what he's dealing with. The reason false doctrine had gotten into the church and he wrote these things to begin with is because Christians began to walk like the world. So they were a prey to false teaching. So they got off on teaching. And here they're walking around thinking they're following God and they're not even in fellowship with God. They're not in fellowship with him. He's talking about bringing people back into fellowship. How you walk in fellowship with God. If you understand what 1 John, the first chapter, is teaching, and into the second chapter, you can stay and walk in fellowship with God. It doesn't matter if somebody misses the mark. That does not mean, just generally somebody sinned does not mean they're out of fellowship with God. But a person who walks continually over the area and has practice of sin, I'm just going to do it. You know, I can live like this. God loves me and I can do what, you know. I'm going to, that person's not in fellowship with God. God doesn't fellowship with him. And they can't fellowship with him because they don't know him. Can you fellowship with somebody you know? You don't know? You can't. See, I don't know somebody. You know, today people use the word knowing. So he's, oh, I know so-and-so. No, you may have heard of him. You don't know them. You don't know them, you know. You don't know anything about them other than you heard some report, you know, but you don't know them. You saw them one time, shook hands with them. I know them. Well, how far do you know them? I saw them. That's it. That's how far I know. Well, that isn't much knowledge on the subject, is it? But as we'll go on and we'll look at these other things that were said here on the dealings with the areas of money, it's really an important thing, dealing with the area of money, dealing with the area of fellowship. Many Christians never get into fellowship with God and giving. They're not in fellowship with him. They never get into fellowship. They don't know him in that area. So they can never know the prosperity and the things that they have to, because they never get into it. A person can know all the information about prosperity, but if they don't ever get into fellowship with God in the areas of giving, they'll never experience God in that area of their life. They'll never experience. And we need to know what the difference of that is. We'll be able to look at some of these things and see what it's really talking about. And understand this, just in closing, the fact that when we talk about fellowship here, we're talking about a fellowship that is in the church world, not in the world in general. Nobody else can have this. You've got to be get born again. You have to have this. This fellowship with God only can come when one is born again. That's the only way it can happen. And so if you're born again, you qualify for the fellowship. You don't have to do some great deed to get this fellowship. And see, to fellowship, if God is withholding information about himself from you and I, then he's going to limit our fellowship, isn't he? You know, people always say, well, you know, you just can't understand God. That's totally stupid. If I can't, my fellowship with him is based upon knowledge. I can't go any further than I know him. If he's keeping himself hidden from me, then he's keeping he's the problem with our fellowship, not me. He is. Well, I know that can't be him. If something ain't working right, I learned a long time ago, check Ed. There's usually something wrong with Ed. Something doesn't matter. Well, see, it's one of the things is when the Lord told me to start the church, he said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. See, that's important. See, if I hadn't had a fellowship with God, he couldn't have gave me that mission. You can do this. Oh, I feel sad because many people are sitting in churches and their minister don't know God. Well, he can't take them somewhere he's not been. You can't take people to where you've not been, you know? You can't take them there. You know, you aren't a tour guide to a place you were never at. Or, you know, never been there, never seen the place. And so it is, in a sense, that's what we do. Through our fellowship, we can lead others into this fellowship. And that's what we want to do with Christians. You know, we teach people to lead them into this fellowship of where we at is to help them into the place where we've come to God. You know, don't ever look at yourself as you might say in an area, I don't know much about God. But you think we're dealing with loads of people who don't know nothing about God. You know, in many ways, we're rocket scientists. Now, I'm not saying this to get big head. Don't get big head about this because, look, we're not rocket scientists. But in a sense, to many people who don't even know God, they don't even know fellowship. But we know about it, my words, we can take a lot of people a long way. So don't, you know, some people don't think they have very much. I'm going to tell you what, if you've had any kind of fellowship with God in any kind of area, there's loads of people, I don't know if they've had any fellowship in any areas. They need to know things. And so don't ever minimize on what you know. I couldn't imagine when I was a baby Christian, I didn't think I had, you know, knew too much about anything. And the Lord dealt with me about what I know. He said, he told me he about teaching people. I thought, me teach? What am I going to teach somebody? I'm just trying to learn this thing. And he started telling me about what I do with him. And it's like, man, and when I got around, I found out, man, people didn't even know the little things I knew. And so what you teach them, the things you know, teach them what you do. He did that to me when Wanda and I, he told us to take over a youth group. I said, Lord, what am I going to teach them? He said, you teach them the things that you know and you practice in life. You teach them what you know about me. You tell them. Well, I thought, wait, I didn't qualify for none of this. But you know what? I did qualify from the standpoint God said, there's things you know about me. They ain't got a clue. And who was teaching them before surely didn't have a clue. And he said, you tell them the things that you know. Why? And that's what he did when we started church. Take the people, give them what you know about me. Tell them what you found in fellowship with me so they can have that same kind of fellowship, so they can hook in the same thing. And remember, there's people around you, loads of people don't know. They don't have much. You get over talking about God being real, most of them will get bug-eyed. You know, people say, oh, God's real, yeah. But you talk about him like he's really real, that people don't know what to think because God is not really real to them. That's words out of the mouth. But I mean, when they talk, somebody actually knows God. We have fellowship with each other. Me and God hang out. Hallelujah. Father, thank you today for teaching us these things, instructing us in these things. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom to teach and to understand. And Father, we sure not have arrived in this fellowship. But I want to thank you. I think through these things as we teach, we're all going to come into a closer fellowship and a closer walk with you. And Lord God, that's our desire. Not, Lord God, we don't want to know it just for ourselves, but Lord God, we want to know it so we can convey it to others to bring them into the unity of faith that they're supposed to have, supposed to walk in. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.